We are in the middle of a series we're calling Marathon Faith, discovering that our race of faith is not a sprint, but it's a marathon. But whenever our church staff decides to eat lunch at B-Daddy's Barbecue, it's a sprint. I promise you, on October 2nd, if you were here, you would have seen our entire staff sprinting, running out in the parking lot, getting in their cars to go to B-Daddy's Barbecue. It was like a scene right out of The Amazing Race. And the reason why is because if you're last in line, then by the time you get your meal, you're going to be like everybody else has already left. And then you're like the last one back to the church office to do the ministry. So it's like kingdom stewardship moment to not be last. On this particular day, I was in a vehicle. I'm not going to tell you all the traffic laws that I saw broken on the way to B-Daddy's Barbecue. But when we got there, I jumped out of the back seat of the vehicle that I was in before the vehicle even came to a stop, and I started running. Only my friend Mikey was in front of me. And while we were running to the front of this building, of this restaurant, I was passed from nowhere, none other than Mikhail Mama Lee. And she was wearing a dress and chanclas. I kid you not, she passed me. But here's the thing, even though she passed me, I had the trump card, because if you've ever been to that restaurant, you know, like the ramp that goes up and then it winds around back to the front porch to go into B-Daddy's. And so Mikey and I, we just like jumped over the entire balcony because we're not wearing dresses. I wish you could have seen the disgust in Mama Lee's eyes. I don't even know what she muttered. God knows what she muttered, unless she just like stumped. But we got in it. And I wish I could have told you I was a chivalrous and opened up the door for her, but I walked right on in. I was like, I got you, sucker. Not today. I gave a high five, Mikey and I, as we casually walked up to the counter. And then again, Mikhail Lee cut us in line, both hands up in the air victoriously, and quickly gave her order. You know what I thought? The audacity. She gave her order, and then everybody else, like 25 others, just came and poured into the restaurant, all red-faced and breathing hard. Could you imagine being there that day? The people that were there had to think that we either loved barbecue or we were crazy. I wanted to just tell everybody, hey, it's okay. We're all from Oak Hills Church. I didn't. But I got my turkey sandwich on the jalapeno cheddar roll. How many of you have ever had that? Some of you are ready. You're going to lunch, right? Don't leave yet. But so I got my sandwich, and I went to our usual spot in the pavilion. And as I went down, there she was again, already eating, and she was holding up her first place finger, Mama Lee. I couldn't believe it. I was like, the audacity. I sat down, and after a few bites, I said, Mikhail, you know, people like us who are competitive by nature, we're tempted to cut corners sometimes. Do you ever struggle with that? You know what she said? She replied with scripture. She said, Paul writes to the Corinthians that, don't you know that when you run a race, like there's only one runner who gets a prize? Run a race like you want to obtain that prize. She goes, you're not doing anybody any favors when you don't try your best. You know what I thought? The audacity. I didn't say it, but that's what I was thinking. So after the meal was over, got back in our vehicle, got back here to the church, and I walked into my office, and there in the middle of my office, someone took a donated beautiful piece of art and made it into a homemade trophy with a little third place post-it note. You know what I thought? You know what I said? You can say it with me. The audacity. I couldn't believe it. And now, try not to look like you're enjoying yourself too much. Can you believe that? You know what I'm thinking right now? Can we just say it loud enough so she can hear on the count of three? One, two, three. The audacity. Can't believe that. I can't even look at this while I'm trying to preach. Have you ever said the audacity? Right? Someone cut in front of you in traffic on Loop 1604, or in that parent pickup line, just got right in front of you. You went the audacity. How about when your kids just like defiantly disobeyed you? How many of you have honestly, you thought that? You said it, the audacity. I wonder if God ever thinks that about us. Like, I've clearly told you everything that you need to do. I've given you the Ten Commandments. Are you obeying everything that Jesus taught you and commanded you? Like, are you helping people in need? Are you obeying my commands? In the area of your finances, are you trusting and obeying the Lord with the tithe? Are you helping others? Are you serving with the talents I gave you? How about the Great Commission? Are you obeying what Jesus told you to go and make disciples? Are you obeying him? Like, we use the word audacity, and it has a negative connotation, doesn't it? But did you know that the real definition to audacity, it simply means to take bold risks? So let's flip the script. What if we can make this positive? Like the audacity in a good way, to take bold risks. But not just take the word audacity, let's merge it with the word faith. Faith, meaning to believe in God to do something so big, even when we can't see it with our eyes. And so let's put it together, and we have audacious faith. Audacious faith, taking a bold and crazy risk for God and his kingdom. So what would it look like for you to have audacious faith? A faith that really believes God. It gets God's heart beating when he sees his children. Like, but we don't do that all the time, do we? Like, we want to, when we take risks, like, we'll jump as long as we have that safety net to catch us in case it doesn't work out, right? Like, we'll dive into that deep end as long as we can keep our floaties on. But that's not audacious faith. Audacious faith is not taking risks with our floaties on. It's trusting God. It's going into new territory. It's believing in him to do something so big in and through us and having a faith that it's just crazy. It doesn't make sense to anybody else. But it's having a faith in God. It's a trust, taking action, believing that God's going to do the impossible when you can't see it. Even when other people would voice negative criticism and that why it can't be and how the odds would be stacked in your favor, but you're going to trust in the Lord. What would it take for you to have audacious faith? Here's the one thing that you need to know today. Audacious faith goes all in. Audacious faith goes all in. In fact, look at over neighbor and say that. Say, audacious faith goes all in. What would it look like if we had audacious faith? So what keeps you from audacious faith? Why are you afraid? Are you afraid of letting someone else down? Are you afraid of failure? Or maybe long ago, you took a faith step, and you got burnt, and you're hurt, and so you're holding back. Maybe you're like an athlete playing soccer, football, or basketball who messes up your knee and sprains or tears your ACL. You know that most athletes, they can physically totally recover from an injury, but what keeps them from playing at that high level required is more mental. Because now they have that injury from the past and it haunts them in their mind, and so they're afraid to make that cut on their knee again. I wonder if that happens to us in this race of faith, in your walk with God. Something's happened to you in the past. Now it's preventing you from taking faith steps. It's preventing you from dreaming a big dream again, of having a vision for God to do something so big in your life. An author once said, "The dogs of doom guard the door to your destiny." The dogs of doom guard the door to your destiny. So some of you, you're afraid to go all in with your chips because you don't think you can win the bet. And the problem is you are more dependent on yourself, on your own resources, on your own limited wisdom. And you're not trusting God to do the impossible. Audacious faith goes all in because it's believing God to do the impossible in and through you, not your own self. Audacious faith goes all in. You know what I love about Hebrews chapter 11? All the endurance runners that are in the Bible listed in this hall of faith, like they're not just pastors and prophets and kings. There's some ordinary folks. There's some people that have some shady backgrounds. There's some assassins, thieves, prostitutes. There's some people that are like, no one would predict that they would make this list. But they're there because they humbled themselves. They trusted God to do something so big and through them, and they had audacious faith. So let's discover the next person. Turn with me in your Bibles in the Old Testament to Joshua chapter 2. This is a time where God had delivered the children of Israel out of the wilderness. They'd been there for 40 years. So Moses is not the leader anymore. The baton has been passed to Joshua, and now they're entering in this promised land that God had given them and is giving them. But there's obstacles. There's the Amorites, and there's the land of the giants, and there's different people, the Philistines. And so they got to trust God with limited resources to overcome these obstacles. Can I tell you that every God-sized vision will have barriers? Big dreams require big faith. So God was leading his children of Israel, and now they get to this place where there's this giant city, fortified city, biggest city in the history of the world. It's called Jericho. It had outer walls. It's populated. It was armed. And so Joshua, he has this wisdom, this strategic, wise moment where he's going to send some spies into the city to sneak in. So in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, 'Go, view the land, especially Jericho.' So they went in and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there." Now Rahab, she was a prostitute, and everybody knew about her, especially the king. So the king he hears the rumor that there were some spies, that there's some people there, some foreigners that are in, and he hears that they came to the area where Rahab was. So he wastes no time, and he sends a message to Rahab. In verse 3, it says, "So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country.'" See, he's feeling threatened, right? So what is Rahab's response? Like, she is in the land of her king. This is the king's kingdom. Everyone at that time would have obeyed the king's order. So this is a clear command. What would she do? This is a pivotal moment in her life. To disobey the king certainly would have led to her death, and maybe to the death of her entire family. It's a pivotal moment. What is she going to do? The odds are stacked against her. Well, she doesn't obey the king's orders. Instead, she takes these two spies, leads them outside up to the roof of her house where these dried stacks of flax were at, and she hides them in the roof of her house. And so later we discover her response in verse 11 of Joshua chapter 2. It says, "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." Rahab heard that there was this one true God. She had heard the stories of how God, he divided the Red Sea and all the miracles that happened. She had put her faith in this one true God. She had heard she wasn't an Israelite. She was a woman. She was a prostitute. But she had audacious faith, and so she went all in. She risked her life. She risked the lives of her family to trust God. She didn't put her eyes on Joshua or the spies or the Israelites or her limited resources. She put her faith in the one true God. So we've got to understand, to possess audacious faith means that we've got to keep our eyes on God and not on man, not on ourselves, not on our safety nets. We got to trust the Lord and him alone. Imagine being Rahab, like when you see the army marching around the city for 6 days, they just keep marching. And then the priests begin to blow the trumpets. And the army, the people of Israel begin to shout. And then there's like this earthquake. History tells us and supports evidence of the outer walls that literally began to crumble. When all of this was going on, you'd be tempted to believe, man, was my audacious faith worth it? God never forgets when you have audacious faith. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 22, it says, "But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, 'Go into the harlot's house and there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her.' And the young men who has been spies went in and brought Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. God not only honored, protected, and delivered Rahab because of her audacious faith, but he delivered her entire family as well. Never underestimate what God will do in, with your audacious faith. It's not just about you, but it's about other people around you that God wants to touch with his hands of blessing, favor, power, and grace. But it starts with one person that's willing to go all in and have audacious faith. But what's great about Rahab's story is that, man, her faith, it wasn't in vain. God honored her. And although we don't hear much more about her story in the Old Testament, we read much more about the details in the New Testament. The first chapter of Matthew, chapter 1, we read about the lineage of Jesus Christ. It says that Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. By who? Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. You may have not realized this, but Rahab is like the great-great-great-grandmother of King David. And not only King David, but if you follow the rest of the lineage, it ends up being Jesus. So she's the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. God took a prostitute and turned her into a princess. That's amazing that God would do this because of her audacious faith. James chapter 2 says, "Was not Rahab justified by her actions? She was made right because of her audacious faith." She was willing to go all in. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. It was her audacious faith. God looked down and saw this girl. What is she going to do? This is a moment of decision. I've got a future for her. I got a dream. I got a destiny that I'm going to take her out of this land of a people who were worshiping false idols, and I'm going to deliver her into a new people, and I'm going to be her God, and I'm going to make her a princess, and I've got a plan for her. I think God looked at her and go, that's my girl. If she can take an audacious faith here, then I can trust her with other things later. And God is looking. He's looking for people who will have audacious faith to take bold, crazy steps for him. Do you know why Jesus chose Peter to be the one that he would build his church on the rock? And like, do you ever realize like why? What was it about Peter? I think that Jesus remembered the moments of audacious faith in Peter's life. Like, remember when they were out on the Sea of Galilee in the boat with the disciples? And then off in the distance, Jesus comes. What is he doing? He's walking on the water, right? Like, imagine it being in that boat and seeing Peter, and Peter going, you know what? If Jesus can do it, I can do it. Like, Thomas is on the back of the boat going, you better not. You know better. Like, Peter's like, why? Why can't I? Well, he's God and you're not. Peter's like, I don't care. Like, I've seen him do the miraculous. I've seen him spit in people's eyes so they can see again. I've seen him heal and deliver from demons, and he's forgiven me and he's saved me. I believe he's going to let me walk on water. So Peter, it took audacious faith to climb out of that boat and start walking on water, but he did it because he had audacious faith. Audacious faith honors the Lord. Honors the Lord. May your faith increase even when you can't see what's going to happen in the future. Some of us who are so like skeptical by nature or logical, you see the glass half empty. Like, you got to, the numbers got to work out. Everything's got to work out first before you take that. That's not audacious faith. The Lord may convict you in this moment because he's got a step of faith that he wants you to take. He's got a dream that he's ready to birth inside of you. But you're going to have audacious faith. It was 13 years ago that the Lord took a broken marriage that Stephanie and I were in, and he restored us. And he birthed in our heart to come back home to San Antonio to start a new church. It didn't make sense. We had friends that said, this is the craziest, stupidest thing you could ever do. You could put your family in harm's way. We sold our house. We moved to San Antonio, moved in with my parents for several months, lived out of our savings for a whole year. But we had one thing, and that's audacious faith in God that somehow, some way, he was going to make a way, that he was going to provide, that he was going to build, he was going to add, and that other people, and that you eventually would be here and be part of this church family that would be so passionate about the Lord, so in love with him, that we would have audacious faith to go and make disciples and see small groups multiplied, and not just be content when we have this church home, but we would be dared to think and believe that there could be a vision that could come true, that if we just had audacious faith, that somehow, some way, we could be a part of seeing 100 churches started in the next 10 years. We can be a part of this if we would just have audacious faith. And what's true for us is true for you. What does the Lord want to birth in your heart? Don't allow the despair in the past or your doubts or your fears to hold you back, but rather surrender them to the Lord. Exchange them. Say, God, help me in my unbelief. Help me to have faith in you. Be so hungry for Scripture that you'll dig into the Word of God, that you'll spend time with Him in worship, and you allow your faith to become stronger and stronger, where you can dream again or take that old dream that's caused your heart to be sick because you haven't seen it come to pass and there's been regret. Allow the Lord to redeem that again. Take that old dream off the shelf again and embrace it and hold on and be desperate for the Lord. Would you dare to dream again? Dare to have audacious faith?